With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Talk that matters. Germ Warfare and Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Germ Warfare at tntradio.live. That's my email address, germwarfare at tntradio.live. As always, send me an email. Let me know where in the world you are. I really enjoy knowing where people are listening from. Speaking of where in the world you are, I, as you might already know, am at the very bottom tip of the African continent. And it's a beautiful day. Global warming is doing a great job at the moment. Thoroughly enjoying the memo that was sent to Mother Nature. My wife and I were up Table Mountain this morning. Table Mountain, for those of you who don't know, is pretty much an iconic landmark, I suppose, of Cape Town. It's about a kilometer above sea level, and it's completely flat, hence the name Table Mountain. It looks like a table. Look it up on the internet. It's a pretty beautiful mountain. We took a cable car, went up there this morning. I took some photographs with an incredible view over the city, and then turning around and in the distance seeing pretty much the most southern tip of the continent. It really is something special living in the chaos that is Africa. On the one hand, it's beautiful. We have very little going for us. We have no electricity for half our life, and we have some wild animals that make up for that. But everything else is a complete dump, or as Donald Trump said, it's a shithole, and he wasn't wrong. Hey, Murray, it's at least in Australia, stuff works. Nothing works. I remember when I was in Sydney, Murray, I saw there were these little signs that tell you when buses are arriving, and it would say like 2 p.m. or 3 minutes past two, and a bus would arrive at 3 minutes past two. Well, here on the African continent, you're lucky if there is even a bus. So, but I will say this. The powers that have been trying to lock down and enslave millions of people for the last 2 years have not done a very good job on this continent, because I can tell you right now, African people, by and large, do not take kindly to this kind of thing. They don't like being told that they must have a vaccine passport, because here in South Africa, during apartheid, black South Africans had to carry a pass. Do you think they're going to let that happen a second time? Not a chance. All right. My name is Germ. This is Germ Warfare, the battle of ideas.
Keeping the commitment 24/7.
I come to you for facts. I really appreciate what you and your team do.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Jason Dean, thank you for joining me in the trenches. Have you been to Africa?
I have not. My in-laws just came back, though, from there about 6 months ago. They were actually in South Africa. I said it was beautiful, but I have not been there. My wife did some work with footballers from there, though, so I've heard about it.
Well, yes, it's a strange place. It's people don't quite understand it. It's, I suppose, like South America. You need to kind of experience it to understand the dichotomy of chaos and freedom at the same time. It's very strange.
we in America has, you know, it's very interesting. I always say this about different countries, is Americans have no clue. You have to travel. I started learning much more, obviously, when I started traveling and realizing, you know, other places there's great, there's good, there's bad, but America just has this, we have this warp mindset, because we're obviously programmed with Mockingbird media. So, you know, Americans have no clue what's really going on in other places, but it's, I enjoy going in and checking places out. Right now, though, I haven't been overseas in 3 years because of chaos. Mm. And, you know, we refuse to get the bioweapon here. So,
well, my wife and I too, we also, the last time we left the country was in 2019. We decided that we were not going to go through with any of this nonsense. I refuse to legitimize a system, no PCR, not even a fake vaccine card. I don't want to be on the system.
No, I agree. We're the same way. My wife and I are both doctors of chiropractic. We're in the natural healing space. And we refused. It was interesting regarding a PCR test, because obviously we know they're a fraud anyway. But people are like, oh, did you get a test? I go, wait, I'm 45 years old. So since I've been alive, we've never done testing for anything flu, cold related. And now all of a sudden you want everyone to take a test for this thing, when in reality, the genus species of this was a cold. It's a coronavirus, right? So it's actually kind of comical. People, you know, a year ago, it's much better now. But a year ago, you know, people were like, did you take a test? Like, why are you taking a test all the time? What are you taking a test for? Like, exactly. You want it to pop positive? Like, this is insane. So no, we're on the same page with that.
Okay. I love your general message, but let's go back a few steps. Tell me a bit about you, your background.
Yeah, no, good question. So being a doctor is actually my second career. I was actually in the sports world first. And so I got pretty sick in my 20s and then changed over to natural health. But at the same time, it was interesting because I didn't have a lot of experience in the natural health world until I met my wife, who was already doctor chiropractic. And so I kind of pulled into this world. But, you know, back in probably 2005 is when I started learning more about the cartel, the pharma cartel, everything else. And it was new to me as well. And in 2008, I remember over here, I don't know how big his name is over there, but over here, Ron Paul, I remember watching him on TV.
He's great.
And I remember, you know, they were shouting him down and I thought he was crazy. I'm like, this guy is nuts. And so I'm from New York originally. So I was around for 9/11 and I had bought into the whole official statement back then. And so I started listening to Ron Paul and I started studying, because, you know, at the end of the day, you gotta research for yourself. And as soon as I dove down the 9/11 rabbit hole, and then that connected me with my wife, who was telling me about the natural healthcare space and then chemtrails and the conspiracy world. Dude, I fell into that like hook, line, and sinker, because it made sense to me. And then since then, being in my space of, you know, natural health, we see people come in with tons of pharmaceuticals, tons of vaccines, and we see how sick they are. And so I just naturally fell into that. And then, you know, kind of coming up the last couple of years, as soon as 2020 happened, we actually saw the ramifications of the COVID bioweapon itself in 2019. We just didn't know what it was at that time. And then, you know, 2020 comes around. I told my wife, I said, all those books I've been reading about the New World Order, this is the New World Order. This is how they're trying to usher it in. This is what they're doing. I go, and I bet you, and she was on the same page. I go, I bet you they come out with a vaccine for this and they're going to try to rush it. And they're going to try, they're going to see how far they can go with it. And sure enough. But the crazy part is, you know, I was in the conspiracy world, but now not only is everyone in the conspiracy world, but you dive even deeper and you just realize how insane, how sinister these people are. I mean, you have the World Economic Forum. I just came back from speaking on General Flynn and Clay Clark's Reawaken America tour in Nashville this past weekend. And the good part is people are waking up. But the crazy part is now you have people like the World Economic Forum. And obviously there's people above them, but they're the facing people who are telling us the insanity. They're literally live streaming their events. And people are tweeting information, and you have other news organizations walking up and down the streets with people like the Pfizer's CEO. And they're literally telling you to your face, they want to enslave you. And we still have a public who's kind of like, well, I don't really understand it. I don't get it. So, I mean, regarding me, I mean, I went from, you know, guy who is in the sports world to doctor to now doctor/media/podcaster/influencer. It's crazy, but I consider every day we're working towards this to work to be free. And, you know, I support other countries doing what they're doing, and I can only imagine what it's like in different places. But that's me. I mean, it's every day now trying to save the republic.
You know, maybe 3 years ago, I wouldn't have found myself talking to somebody like you, because I would have brushed you off as another hippie. And yet here I am talking to not just you, but many like you, and I'm in agreement. So the silver lining is that my eyes, as I'm sure many other eyes, have been opened.
Yeah, I love that. You know, it's actually, it's interesting you bring that up because ever since my podcast started taking off, I had to bring an assistant on to help with some of the administrative stuff. And she's out of Michigan. She doesn't even, I'm in Florida. She's in Michigan. We've only met each other a couple of times on the road traveling. And it's interesting you say that about you because she was a hardcore pro-vaccine mom. Like she was to the point, and we're talking a few years ago, and she was to the point where like, don't even come near me or my house unless you're vaccinated, before COVID, of course. And as soon, but what happened was her son was injured as a child by a vaccine and she recognized it. And then she had to help start reversing him and bringing him back out of it. And so it's crazy because she's kind of similar. She's 180 now. She's like, no, never bring another vaccine near me or my kid. She's had another child since who's not vaccinated. And so it's interesting, like your story, because we see this and it's fun for me to step back and watch this because of being in the world already, is to watch people do this wake up process of, you know, it was all crazy and now like flipping over 180 and now having these conversations. And it's actually really fun because I think some of you, people like you who are open to this now and having these conversations, honestly, more powerful than me because you can wake up more new people versus me who's kind of been in this. And I do sound a little crazy sometimes. I fully admit that because some of the things I talk about are completely like lunacy. So we need people like you who can wake up more and more people because you're kind of fresh, if that makes sense.
What does it take though, in your experience to wake up people? Because I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I have found that facts don't matter.
Yeah, it's the problem is, and I don't know if people have heard of this, perception is reality, right? Like it's what they see. I have found that unfortunately, a lot of people have to be impacted by it themselves. So right now you're seeing people who are waking up because they took the quote unquote vaccine. It's not a vaccine. We use the word just because it's easy, but it's not a vaccine. It's a bioweapon. It genetically changes your DNA. So some people need to be literally like, unfortunately, negatively woken up, meaning, oh crap, they're scared. They're running around like, what do I do right now? And they're waking up to it. I mean, one of the influencers over here, Scott Adams, just came out with a video yesterday on Twitter saying the anti-vaccines are right. I was right. He goes, I was wrong. He took like three or something like that. So you have that right there. That wakes up. The other part is, now I always go back to this because the really at the end of the day, you have there's two things that will shake people's worlds. One is healthcare, which you're having that with the vaccine bioweapon. Two is money. Ultimately at the end of the day, money is what wakes people up. When they wake up at some point, which I'm hoping doesn't happen, but the writing is kind of on the wall. You're seeing some crazy stuff over here with the FDIC and banks. When you wake up and there's no money in your account, or the dollar amount is not what it was, and you don't have the abilities to go in and, you know, take your kid to a doctor if you need to, or go actually just get food, or, you know, be able to pay for your shelter. At the end of the day, least common denominator, unfortunately, is money. And so I really truly believe behind the scenes with all this stuff, not only are they trying to imprison people through healthcare, I think they're screwing with the money supply. I think they're trying to get ultimate enslavement through things like the CBDCs, other yes. stuff through countries and IMF. That really right there, I believe that's the giant wake up call, because you wake up one morning and your money's not there. Oh, you're going to wake up pretty fast.
Tell you what, before we continue, Murray, let's just quickly go to an ad break. I'll be back with you now, Jason.
TNT Radio's Dirk Pohlman.
The new Pentagon report is out, the groundbreaking report, because now the American parliament is after UAPs or UFOs, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, I was quite underwhelmed, right? Because they really managed to make this second UFO report even less spectacular and interesting than the first one, which already didn't have any information. And that is logical, because after the 2017 revelation in the New York Times, Washington Post, and so on, concerning UFO videos, there is really nothing new in that report. It basically consists of a three-page appendix that lists all the items that the classified report should have. For example, the number of UAP sighted in the vicinity of nuclear military installations, the kind of analysis done on health effects caused by UAP, some very interesting information, none of which figures in the unclassified report.
The Dirk Pohlman Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Climate change policies will only widen the gap between the rich and the poor. On air 24/7. This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Jason, so before we talk about the World Economic Forum, which I know you've got some views on, and by the way, you're preaching to the choir because I think everybody at this station will agree with everything that you're going to say, but it needs to be said anyway. But the one thing that I really, really find fascinating is the advent of fact checkers in the last few years and how they have seemed to have amplified and become really benign, like really in your face. And that shows me that there is a strong propaganda machine that is very well oiled.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you're looking at 1984. I mean, the crazy part is this is the funny part, what you just said in the last segment, the fact that, you know, what does it take for people to wake up? The average American still, and I don't know how it is overseas, but the average American is still like, there's just not, like, they think it's normal. Like, oh yeah, cancel that misinformation. That stuff's crazy. I mean, I had a Twitter account which got suspended, still suspended. And then, so what I did was I made a second Twitter account and I didn't even use it to tweet, other than I tweeted like twice, hey, Elon, can I have my account back? And I just used it to kind of follow some people. And 3 days ago, I think it was Thursday or Friday, I opened up my Twitter account just to check some stuff and it's suspended. And I'm like, wait, it's suspended. Like, I don't even use this account.
Hold on.
It's suspended.
The one that's now, like, as in the one after, yeah, Elon bought it.
Yeah. And I haven't even, I didn't even tweet anything. And then I go and they cross, and then I get within hours, my new Facebook, because I was already banned there. So I built a new one with a different name. That one was suspended. And I was like, so within a day, and this is right before I was speaking on tour on Saturday night. And I was like, wait, they suspended two accounts that I'm not even really kind of like messing with. They are cross-platform doing everything right now. This is it's honestly quite insane. The problem is they do it in such a way where they've got people so brainwashed. And this goes back to, I mean, this is Mockingbird media. I mean, you go back to the Third Reich, right? And they knew how to do this very well during the Third Reich. The problem is what most Americans don't know, and this is kind of a down the rabbit hole thing, but I think it's becoming more public knowledge amongst all of us who know this, is America became the Fourth Reich. What we're doing is we're going through this Fourth Reich situation right now where they control every single solitary thing, but they've gotten people so invested into government at this point. And over here, you know, they had the boom. They already had the boomers because they got them with Social Security. They got them with Medicare. They got them with this socialized system, right? Everyone's like, oh, we're America. America hasn't been America for decades. We are a socialistic nation. I mean, it's as simple as that. People just don't realize it yet. But yet the misinformation that they're pushing and the fact that we got to double check to make sure everybody is saying the right stuff, it's the problem for me is it's so over the top insane. Like, it's right in your face. But we have two worlds over here. We have two populations. We have a population of awake people like us who are like, how can the others not see this? And then the unawake population who you could put it right in front of their face right now. And you could tell them, the government could come out right now and tell them they're lying to them and they would still buy it.
That's where we are. They're the kind of people. Yeah. So the other population that you are referring to is the type that would wear an LGBTQ rainbow t-shirt with a little flag of Ukraine on it. And they've got 500 boosters already in their left arm and right arm. And they don't question anything, and they just blindly trust the establishment.
This is the beauty of MK Ultra. This is how good it is to brainwash people. Literally, you can put them in a different universe, almost on the same planet, and they don't know where they are. And you could have, and this is all a joke to me in a way, because obviously I'm not buying any of it. But the fact that, like, you have the quote unquote president of the United States, every single day of the last week, a new set of classified documents is found. And then he's asked publicly in a press conference, what about it? And he says, well, let's not be crazy. You know, the Corvette wasn't on the side of the street. It was in a locked garage. And I'm looking at the TV, and I don't like to call him president because he's not, but I look at him and I'm going, America just looked at quote unquote, the president of the United States, tell everybody, don't worry. It wasn't like it was on the side of the street. It was in a locked garage. Dude, you were the vice president at the time. You didn't even have access to classified materials. And now it's sitting in your, like, this is a clown world, guys.
You know, what's funny is that you talk about Biden, you don't like to call him your president. And I'm obviously on the other side of the pond, and so it does look like a joke from my side. But I must admit, I really get disappointed, because we on the African continent are supposed to have the world's worst leaders. And so we don't like that sort of competition. You know, can we at least win in something? You know, so, like, get yourself a better president. But what's funny is that our president is a complete Davos. What's the word I'm looking for? Puppet. Yeah, he's a Davos puppet completely. What, like 100%? And I think he's there now, or was there. But at least I know your president's name. Do you know who Murray's prime minister is? I don't know who the prime minister of Australia is. Murray, who is your, what is your prime minister's name? Do you know, Jason?
I don't, you know who the first person pops in my head, but she's New Zealand, is the one that just resigned, is Ardern or whatever. But Australia, isn't it the guy that looked like he was doing hits of coke at one time on video?
Oh, Murray says it's Anthony Albanese. Am I saying it correctly? Anthony Albanese.
Well, I definitely haven't heard that name.
Yeah, I mean, but is that maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing that nobody knows who he is. Maybe he just keeps to himself. I don't know. I've got no idea. I don't know anything about him. I don't know if he's a good person or a bad person. But the point I'm making is that a lot of these names that we know, like Jacinda and Macron and Trudeau and Biden, these, we know that they're all pawns of not just the World Economic Forum, but of the sort of the new world agenda.
Yeah, no, we absolutely know they are. But the crazy part is, again, we know it, we see it, and I got up this morning and I opened my phone up real quick and I just went to Twitter fast. And I think there was I've scanned it, so I couldn't give you the details on it, but basically there was a poll put out by somebody regarding, and it was a couple million people that voted on it regarding if Joe Biden should run for president in 2024. And on the right side, clearly it was DeSantis and Trump, but it says it should have Biden, right? And the vote, the poll was 65% of Americans out of this couple million think he shouldn't run. And I looked at that and I go, okay, like the fact that 35% of Americans voted on that and said that they think that Joe Biden should run again for president, like that, yeah. Like that's a joke to me. The fact that it's only 65% are like, yeah, no, definitely not. But 35% are like, you know what? I think he's doing a good job, and I think we should let him have another 4 years. And the fact that he can't remember his name half the time, he doesn't know who his wife is, and he like looks ridiculous on camera pretty much every day. Oh, and by the way, now there's that classified documents literally all over the place from his time as a VP, which he was not allowed to do. And yet 35% are going, nope, let's clap for him. It's a great job. Keep it up. Let's do another 4 years. This is the world we live in.
you just sometimes want to punch those sorts of people? I do. I get so angry. I think, how can people be so idiotic?
I've learned something. So I try to learn something from everything if I can. What I've learned in the last 3 years, especially in the last like year, I've learned to be very forgiving of people because I don't know what else to do. Because, you know, you go through different phases. You go through like, I was excited in the beginning, strangely, because I'm like, oh, this is everything that I've studied. I know what's happened. This was going to go down. And then, you know, the bioweapon comes out and then I kind of go into like, a little bit, not fear, but I'm like, oh crap, what are they going to do? How are we going to have to bounce around? Like I'm in Florida, so we were fine. So I go into fear a little, not fear, but like, just like, oh, a little angst. We got to figure out what's going on. My wife and I are trying to like look through the different mandates and see what they're trying to do, see how we get loopholes and get around it. And then, you know, you go up to anger a little bit because you're like, what is happening? And now I'm just coming back around. I think there's memes on this. I'm coming back around to going, you know what? I'm not angry. I'm not upset. I'm definitely not in fear. It's again, comedy again, but at the same time also, you know, I want to be annoyed at the people. For 2 years, I told them not to take the damn bioweapon, right? But for two years, they took it. And then people that lied about it, like, oh yeah, I'm not taking it, Dr. D. And then I find out they got it because they were scared about it. I'm kind of back to just like forgiveness. Like, okay, you know what? I feel bad for you. I'm so sorry you went through this. Like I'm annoyed. But what am I going to do? I can't live my life annoyed. I can't live it in fear and anger. So you just kind of like, you know what? I'm really sorry people did this. Let's see what we can do to help. But at the same time, comic relief for the idea that people think this is our government.
Jason, you have created a magnificent segue, but I'm going to jump into that right after these news headlines. Go.
What the hell is this?
TNT Radio News.
Breaking news, breaking news.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. The walls are closing in on US President Joe Biden after the FBI reluctantly searched his home in Delaware and recovered more classified documents. Moscow was warned of a global tragedy if the West keeps supplying weapons to Ukraine, and Turkey has slammed Sweden for turning a blind eye to a Quran burning protest, which has fueled a second day of demonstrations in Istanbul and Ankara.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Just before the news headlines, Jason, you mentioned you're talking about anger, and I don't know where I can't remember. Is it Maslow's hierarchy?
Maslow's needs
or whatever?
Have hierarchy.
Yeah, where you go from anger to what is it? I can't remember the order, but you eventually just get to that point where, all right, let's just laugh it off. let's just forgive those.
What else are you going to do at a certain point? I mean, because after a while too, and you know, I'm in the natural healthcare space, and what I see in physical practice every day is I see a lot of injured people, and I see a lot of kids who are injured because I saw kids that are injured way before this all happened. And so it comes back around to, not sadness, but like, you know, your heart kind of hurts for people because you're seeing what happens. But then also, you know, a lot of kids got the bioweapon. And so, you know, the anger is obviously at like the people who would do this, because it's obviously reprehensible. It's not even imaginable they're not just cold. They're literally soulless to do something like this. But at the same time, like, you know, you see a kid come in who's had it, or you see even an adult who's had it, who literally, you know, they just didn't know. Like, they're willing to listen, but they didn't know. They got scared. They could have lost their job. They could have lost all their money, et cetera. And they did it. And you just start to go, you know what? Like, I still have my opinions on, hey, you guys didn't listen, but I'm not going to hold it against them at this point, because we're humans, right? We're humans. I have empathy. Yeah. It really sucks. So we're working through it as best we can over here.
So that's where I wanted to go with this conversation. So the last couple of years for me have very much been a journey of rediscovery of myself. To point you in the direction, in 2020, I was taking prescription drugs because I was really, really not coping with all these lockdown things. I was taking, what do you call them? SSRIs, antidepressant stuff.
Yeah, psychotropics.
And I was taking proton pump inhibitors for intense heartburn and all sorts of stuff, right? Prescription drugs. The irony that I discovered was that those were harming me, actually. They were not doing anything good. They were buggering up everything within me, from the way I saw the world to my sort of understanding of morality. It became weirdly psychological and mental, I'm guessing because of the antidepressants. Went off them in 2021, been what, almost 2 years now, no medication whatsoever, and have countered everything with a natural approach. And it has been far, far better on my health than everything else. Everything has improved.
That's an amazing story. Well, like, really well done. That's not easy to do, especially from the SSRIs, because they make them so they're addictive. That's like, so you're the fun one to talk to, because you went through this awakening process, like, literally right in front of our eyes, and not just knowing that they're all lying to us, but like, it is a cartel. I mean, it's medications galore. I mean, I talk about this all the time. Obviously, the vaccine and the psychotropic drug industry are the two most deadly, dangerous industries on the face of the planet. Like, I always tell people, I'm not an anti-medicine guy. Obviously, medications, there's emergency medications that have literally saved people's lives. They do it every day, and it's amazing. We can't be without it. However, it's turned into, again, a cartel. Those two industries are so insane. We're losing people every single day over here because of those exact medications. But you're right. The average person that I see on a daily basis, or I talk to during my show, they're on sometimes 10 medications or more. And at some point you're like, okay, like, what is happening here? There is no reason for anybody to be on a list of medications, because at some point, even if you had a genetic problem, even if you had something that was family history, right? Okay, let's say you're on one, maybe you could only be on two. Where is the third and the fifth and the tenth coming from? At that point, you are just chasing things around the body. It's poor lifestyle, et cetera. And obviously, over in America, we have the worst food system on the face of the planet, even though everyone thinks it's great. It's absolutely horrible. But we have a lot of people over here in your situation, which is fantastic. I was just away for the weekend, and tons of people coming up and going, I quit medications because the vaccine, the bioweapon, actually woke them up to the rest of the industry. And they realized, hey, yes, I don't want to be like, you know, Merck over here in the bioweapon industry is really bad. Well, they must not be so great over here in the other medication world too. And so now they're actually getting themselves off of this stuff. But to what your other point was, they're moving over to the natural world. They're finding out that there's herbs, there's whole foods that actually will do the same thing and actually potentially even better for handling the things that you are dealing with.
So you've got a keen interest in sports. So let me just quickly go there for a moment. Fitness and what you eat are critical components of your well-being.
100%. You have to move. The body is made up of joints. Those joints have to move. We were not intended to be sitting all the time doing different things. And it doesn't mean you have to be obviously an athlete necessarily. You have to move your body. You have to put the right things in your body food-wise, right? Obviously, you know, we have more food in grocery stores. I should say food stuff. We have more garbage out there that we know what to do with. And quite honestly, I'm in the carnivore keto mindset over here. So, you know, it's,
oh, my, like, man.
Yeah. So people are like, you only eat once to twice a day, and you eat mostly meat and some fat and maybe a vegetable sometimes. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much it. And then I'll have some, you know, bulletproof coffee. And they're like, what do you like? Don't you get hungry? I'm like, no, I stay really busy. I stay really productive. I have lots of fat in my diet, and I keep myself moving, and I'm on purpose every day. And guess what? I don't gain a bunch of weight. I keep myself going. Yeah. So it's really weird. We're having to adopt it. This is why I actually love this time. I hate what happened the last 3 years, but at the same time, the silver lining is we are bringing over so many people to our way of thinking now and getting them healthier because they started not believing what they were told the last 3 years.
So let me just add now to what you're saying, because you've just created a whole level of excitement.
I opened up a box of worms right there, didn't I?
Well, I hate worms. I will never eat worms. They're bugs. I'm not going to eat their bugs. But I also subscribe to the keto lifestyle. My wife and I try very bad. Yeah. Look, it's very difficult, because of friends and you know, as you mentioned, stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on around you. But by and large, we try and eat as few carbohydrates as possible, and that includes sugars. I just use a very simple rule. If it's sweet, it's got sugar in it. Doesn't matter what it is. It can be fruit, anything. So I try eat as little as of that as possible. And then I jump into the gym and I push weights. I don't do any super circuit nonsense. You know, I try and push barbell style weights. You know, that's what I enjoy doing. I've got my own squat rack. And I spend a lot of time doing deadlifts and all that sort of stuff. And I find, this is where I'm going with this, I find that combined with the sort of keto low carbohydrate diet has completely, completely replaced any drugs that I was on.
You're doing exactly what's necessary. I mean, there's a funny meme. I hate to use the word meme because it feels kind of dumb, but it gets the point across. You know, there's one going around that says, like, are you depressed? Or do you just miss nature? Are you around a bunch of jerks and are you eating crap? Like people who are depressed tend to have a certain lifestyle they live, but no, absolutely. Like the lifestyle over here with keeping yourself healthy, keto, carnivore, you know, obviously some variation, it doesn't have to be perfect. Our body, the whole carb thing, right? So I tell people I'm a very low carb, like how low carb? I'm like, honestly, most of the days, I don't eat anything carb, like zero carbs. And if I ever do, it might be like a little drop of honey here or something like that, and some coffee every once in a while, just for like, you know, spice it up a little bit. But the average person, I don't know about you. So the average person I talk to, they're on 200, 300 plus grams of carbs a day between breads, pastas, sugars, et cetera.
Way too high.
And they're like, what's wrong with me? And I go, you're living off of sugar. You are, and back to like the whole, what we were talking about, when you have a lifestyle like that, you don't get outside, you don't spend time in nature, you don't spend time with loved ones, you're not doing the right things. All the stuff they wanted to do with the lockdowns is just to shut you out of this world. So you become depressed. Our bodies are designed to eat like this, to care for ourselves like this, to be in nature, et cetera. When you do that, that is how you express physical health on this planet. And this is why, this is why they shut down with lockdowns. This is why they put people in fear. This is why they put people in anger. This is why they're going for the will, because they can control you better, even potentially through having you die, than to allow you to have any sort of freedom where you can find out that you're supposed to be healthy.
Can I flirt with you a little bit, but we just won't tell my wife. to add to the carnivore thing, I go hunting. So I try and get as close to nature as possible.
Yeah.
And as free range as possible.
Based on what I'm now learning about you in just the last, you know, 30 minutes or so, you have made like a complete almost 180, it sounds like, from where you started with this whole thing to where you are right now. And I'm going to be honest with you. Like I live in a world of conspiracy people. All my colleagues are same as me. My wife is same as me. We're all on the same page. And so, but we've been like this for a long period of time. My mentors who are since passed, you know, taught me this whole world. It is actually more fun for me to meet and talk to people like you who have woken up in the last few years than it is my old colleagues, because the cool part is like, you're the ones who are going to actually help us educate the new people, because they can have more reality with someone like you who's just kind of in the last few years opened up to this versus me who's down so many crazy rabbit holes. It's hard for me to have a conversation sometimes because it's hard not to like dump everything I know. And some of the stuff I know is really, really like, it can be dark at times versus you who, you know, you've come off the medications, you've changed your life radically. That's amazing stuff.
Yeah,
man, you have a big, powerful influence in life. I love that.
Well, I'm certainly a lot more exciting than Murray. I'm only kidding. Murray, let's just quickly do my last ad break.
with his expert analysis and opinion.
This is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
The reason the fascist FBI censors conservatives so hard on social media is because the left simply can't meme, and they've got no Twitter game whatsoever. The White House got absolutely ratioed today on the official @CDCGov account when it put out a video that asked,
"Can I get my Mpox vaccine at the same time as my flu shot and COVID vaccines?"
Check out the video. I'm not far off on the voice. And they had Dr. Dimitri Daskalakis, who looks crack-a-lacka, all tatted up in his leather bondage gear. Yes, that photo really is he, who replied,
"It's not too late to get vaccinated. You can get the Mpox vaccine at the same time as your flu and COVID vaccines. But talk to your vaccinator about what's right for you."
First of all, Mpox? Do you mean monkeypox? And talk to your vaccinator. People have vaccinators now? Or did they misspell executioner? Check out the comments. They're savage. People are waking up. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Several countries and automakers have pledged to end the sale of combustion engine cars by 2035. Electric cars are intended to take over, and this is supposed to be green. The transition to electric vehicles would require batteries galore, and therefore the biggest expansion of mining that the world has seen. Tailings from mines contaminate much wider regions, including major rivers, lakes, and the oceans. It takes 500,000 gallons of water to mine 1 ton of lithium, and farmers left without a drop are forced out. Lithium-ion batteries used in electric cars are difficult and costly to recycle, and it's cheaper just to mine more lithium. Significant quantities of plastic, aluminium, rubber, and particularly iron are required for electric cars, just as any other car. Massive new charging station infrastructure will again require more resources. Is this really green?
Jeremy Nell
on today's News Talk Radio,
TNT.
Jason, I am enjoying chatting to you so much that I'm going to invite you back if that's okay with you, because there's so much I want to chat to you about. I love it. Where your mind is. I just want to quickly horseshoe back to the dieting, because I'm very, very keen on diet and health, because I have found, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I have found that the best way to fight the globalists, the best way to fight the oligarchs, is actually to win your own local battles first. And that's from the most obvious things like sleeping enough, spending time outside in the sun, enjoying people around you, getting rid of excess technology that you don't need, and get back to eating great food, and just focus on your immediate environment.
Yeah, I mean, they hate what we do. I mean, keep in mind too, let's use the word globalism, right? Like, now, obviously, if there's something that's food related from another country and you want to try it sometime, like, yeah, that's cool. Like something from Australia or South Africa, like, hey, I want to try it. That's cool. You can try it. Like, if it's good. But we were never intended to be a globalist human beings. We're intended to be regional. We're actually supposed to be like literally local. So if I'm in Florida, you know, obviously oranges, different things down here that are tropical. I'm originally from upstate New York. I mean, apples, things like that. We adapt to our environment. That's literally, we are literally the results of our environment. That's why, you know, it's funny. I talk sometimes about, like, we talk about colored skin on our, you know, the color of skin on our podcast. And I say, you know, Black people aren't Black people because they're different. It's because they come from an area where their body had to adapt to the surroundings, to the heat, to the sun. It has nothing to do with race. And the same thing with food. We adapt to our regions, right? So again, there's nothing wrong with traveling, going and seeing stuff, but we're supposed to be eating locally. Like, I have my local butchers, you know, we have our local meats, things like that. Now I can order stuff in, but we tend to, my food is honestly pretty boring. Like, I eat meat, I eat fat. Maybe we'll throw in a vegetable or two over here. We actually do it locally. My wife will, you know, do some growing in our backyard. We don't do all of our growing in our backyard, but we do that as well. And we also know where all of our places are locally, where things are made. We're in Florida, so we also have, you know, seafood and fish that are not brought in from other places. It's literally like they go to the coast they get the fish, they go fishing, they bring it in. And you can do this and still have a great economy, because ultimately, if you support your local economies, and by the way, you support a local economy, you support your local butcher, your local fishmonger, et cetera, that's how business, that's actually entrepreneurship, right? Versus these people want Walmarts and Targets and Amazons all over the place, so that you must buy from the big guy, right? You have to buy from the big corporate fascist system. That's what they want, right? Yeah, and it's okay that we have some, you know, big corporations we can buy from, but ultimately they're trying to pull us away from local sustained, not sustainability, but sustained living, regenerative farming, et cetera, and literally being neighbors and community members, right? I would much rather go and support my local people who own stores than I would having to buy from these big. And this is exactly what they've been, this has been going on for such a long time. Over a period of time, they've been trying to force us down into this technocracy where literally everything is just solely ordered on your phone. And I'm not an anti-technology guy. Just use it for the right things and put it in the hands of the right people who help us. We actually build it up ourselves. But 100%, we have to take our sovereignty back as human beings, both obviously as souls, but also as communities, eating properly, eating locally, et cetera. That is how you actually destroy globalism, honestly.
It's by winning locally.
That's right. Absolutely. Locally. And start with your food, because at the end of the day, you know, go look in your cabinets, your cupboards. And if you look at all your food, first of all, if you got a bunch of boxes and cans in there with about 10, 20, 30 ingredients on it, obviously you're not eating food at that point, right? But look at where your stuff is coming from. Like, I can go to mine and I can basically, for the most part, name where most of my stuff is all coming from. And occasionally there might be like a snack in there or something, but you know where it comes from. And also, even if I have a snack in my cupboard, there's like three ingredients on it. You know, there's like, we know what it is. It's not this chemistry experiment. And honestly, people are on medications because they're eating chemistry experiments. That's what it comes down to.
A friend of mine is a sports scientist. He's been on my show a few times. Goes by the name of Tim Noakes. And he's also a low carb.
Oh, I know him. Yeah. I know that name.
Yeah. Yeah. And he said to me, the more ingredients your food has on it or in it, the less likely it is that you should be eating it. And it shouldn't come in a box.
I agree with that 100%. Absolutely. Yeah. He's a genius. I mean, good to have him in your back pocket. He's well known. He's a fantastic, fantastic scientist.
Well, he's the reason why I went off antidepressants. One of the primary reasons, because I had lunch with him, because he's South African, and he sat in front of me and he said, you're going to have to get off those antidepressants and you're going to replace it with what's on your plate.
That's right there. Like, people want to know how we can beat this system and beat World Economic Forum and whoever controls them and beat this war. It's through education. It's through knowledge. It's through learning. But it's through amazing people like that who are mentors to someone like you or others that tell you, hey, the only way to do this is you have to go back to nature. Like, you have to go back to what we're given, and this comes down to natural laws. I mean, I'm in the chiropractic world. We talk about natural laws all the time, right? Natural laws are as simple as that. You put junk in your body, you put junk in your brain, you put junk in your mind, you watch junk, you're going to be junk. It's that simple. Like, what goes in, whether it's through your mouth, you know, through your eyes, through your ears, it doesn't matter. You put in junk, you're going to get junk back out. You put in good, you put in knowledge, you put in education, you're going to get that out. And then on top of that, you're going to publicize that to other people. So you now are going to impact more people, because obviously you have a show, but also people in your community, et cetera. Like, it didn't just end with you. It now gets broadcast out to more people, just like it does with me. That's how we change this whole thing.
But something you said earlier, I wanted to comment on, it's that a lot of people I've found in the last year or two, they get so hyper-focused on one thing, and that'll be, oh, let's take them down. Let's fight them. Okay, how do you do that? Oh, but we must just talk about the stuff. Okay, but what about changing you? Start with you and then change the person next to you, and then your friends and your family and your community. You can't beat the system by just trying to beat the system.
It's, well, I think Michael Jackson said this, like the man in the mirror, right? Like go, you have to like look in the, and that's why I said, I jokingly say it, but it's true, is you go through different ranges of emotions. And I'm back to just, you know what, in a form of forgiveness, not because I had to forgive anybody, but just because there is a frustration. There is an anger that came with the last couple of years of watching people not listen to some of the things we said, and they went out and got the vaccine, the bioweapon instead. Anyway, but it goes back to, you know, you look in the mirror, I get up in the mirror and like, okay, I can't change what they did, right? I can't fix necessarily what they did to themselves, but I can still be kind. I can still, you know, and it's one of those things where, okay, work on myself. How can I help more people? Because ultimately that's what we're here for, is to help and serve people, right? Okay, well, I can't be angry at them. And if I yell at them, it's not going to help, because they're just going to kind of walk away. So now I have to go, you know what? Be kind. If I was in a situation where I did something that was that somebody thought I was stupid, it was a bad idea, I would want them to be kind to me. So, and I wanted them to take it under the wing and go, okay, hey, this is what we can do. So that's what I do. I just turn and go, okay, how can I help you best now? Okay, it sucks. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't tell you you're going to make it or not make it. That's not up to me. We don't even fully know what this thing's going to do. But what I can do is, we have some products. We have some this. We have some that. I can give you this information. Let's just do the best we can right now. I'm behind you. And let's just, you know what I mean? Like, let's just make it the best of it that we can. But know this. Now you have to know this. This thing was a mess. It was not true. As long as you know that now we can go forward. We can make a better place.
Yeah, that redemption thing is something that only really struck me, I suppose, about 6-8 months ago, where I kind of went from that anger phase into, hold on. It's not doing me any benefits. It's not making me feel better by being angry. And it is possible, you know, to be redeemed. People can make, look at Scott Adams. Now, I don't know if he's trolling. I'm going to take him at his word and believe him and say that he is looking for redemption. He made a mistake despite everybody at the time telling him that he was wrong. He has now come to that realization that he was wrong. So there is space for redemption. And I think that says a lot about us also, doesn't it? If we can allow people to redeem themselves.
I mean, 100%. I mean, isn't that the name of the game at the end of the day? Is all of us are here on this plane or planet, whatever you want to call it. We are here to learn. I threw that in there.
I saw what you did there.
We're here to learn about ourselves and to make ourselves better, not as a selfish thing, but to make, if we all are doing that, we're going to make a better place. Our job here is to learn as much about ourselves, to get to know ourselves as a spirit, as a soul. And this is part of our growth process. Obviously, we brought us all into our lives. I get a little woo-woo on that because I just understand that world. But we are here not as physical. We are here to learn our lessons. And I guess I find myself fortunate to be here in this place and time, even though it was kind of annoying the last few years, because it's I get to learn, and then I get to help other people learn.
Jason, you're such a ray of light. Let's just quickly shine some of it onto what you do, and how can I follow you or follow your work?
Yeah. So I'm in physical practice. I help people all over the world as well. You can go to bravetv.com. I do a podcast 5 days a week, health, freedom, knowledge, just educate people on obviously some of the system, but how to make themselves better. Then I obviously help people, adults, children as well, chronic health issues. If you go to bravetv.com, all the social media sites are there as well. I've been banned most places, so you got to go find me, but go there. It'll link you up to it. And yeah, my job is to help as many people as possible, save a lot of kids, because I see that every day in practice. So we're here to help anybody that needs it.
If you've been banned everywhere, it's all the more reason to follow you.
That's right. Exactly.
That means you're over the target.
That's right.
Jason Dean, thank you for joining me in the trenches.
Thanks for having me today, guys. I appreciate it very much.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. But before you go, I need to ask you something quickly. Have you ever been to Australia? Because Murray's Australian, and I've been to Australia. And one thing I can tell you is, talking about health, I ate kangaroo and emu, because that's what you do when you visit Australia. and it was absolutely awful.
Have you eaten kangaroo? It's on my list to go. I just got to wait till the world settles down a little bit.
I don't recommend kangaroo. It's not all that exciting. And then when you realize that it's a rodent, it's a rodent, isn't it? It's a really big rodent. It's not a rodent. What is it? I thought it was a rodent.
I don't know. We eat rattlesnake down here, so I don't know. And gator too. So hey,
it's a marsupial. Murray says it's marsupial. Oh, you got rattlesnakes. You don't eat those, surely?
They do. Yeah, we eat rattlesnakes down here. We eat gators too.
Oh, how does that taste?
Like chicken.
Oh man. All right, Jason, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. I'm going to get you back if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Murray.
It.
Great stuff. Thank you, Murray, for producing the show. It's always a pleasure having Murray in the studio. Even though that he's in Australia, that's fine. Fine by me. Send me an email, jimwarfare@tntradio.live. I'll catch you tomorrow. Thoroughly enjoyed this conversation today. I hope you did too. I'm out of here. My name is Jim. This is Jim Warfare, the Battle of Ideas.